Welcome once again to Landmarks for Living. This is Richard Melson, gospel preacher at the Needmore Road Church of Christ. This is a radio ministry where every listener is encouraged to not only read but study their Bible daily according to Acts chapter 17 and verse number 11. Friends, God is indeed concerned what you think. Friends, God is indeed concerned what you do. Today is June the 7th, 2026. Please check out our website at www.needmoreroadcoc.com. Past broadcasts of Landmarks for Living are archived at our website. Past issues of the Edifier newsletter are available. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel. We would love for you to visit with us on Sundays at 2211 the Needmore Road. Bible study at 9:30 a.m. Worship at 10:30 a.m. And today, the first Sunday of June, 1 p.m. in the afternoon, no 5 p.m. service today. And we'll assemble again on Wednesday at 7 p.m. And I'll have more to say about the Wednesday 7 p.m. service in a few moments. I appreciate everyone who listens to Landmarks for Living each Sunday morning on 98.7 FM. WGNZ AM 1110 or FM 104.3 or online by streaming at the soulofdayton.com and WGNZ.com. A number of you have asked about, is there an app available for downloading on your smart devices? TuneIn Radio app, T-U-N-E, capital I-N, radio app is a free radio app that you can listen to any radio station in the world that streams as well. Once you have downloaded the TuneIn Radio app, just type in WGNZ. Again, the TuneIn Radio app. And once you have downloaded that radio app, just type in the call letters WGNZ. Friends, at the start of this program, the emphasis has not changed. It is to teach only that which is authorized by God in the Bible. If you have a question about anything that is taught during our broadcast, please write to us so that we can supply a Bible answer to your Bible question. You may write to us at Landmarks for Living, care of the Needmore Road Church of Christ, 2211 Needmore Road, Dayton, Ohio, 45414, or email me at dr.rdmelson@nmrcoc.com. Beloved, the Bible is the only approved standard for authority today in all matters of morality, ethics, and religion, according to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. Therefore, do not move nor remove the divine landmarks. We dare not step outside the sphere of divine authority and then try to pretend that we are walking by faith, Romans 10, verse 17. Keep this in mind, the way we treat the Scriptures, the Bible, God's word is the way we treat the Lord. Dayton, are you listening? I hope that you've learned from our earlier studies that the Scriptures are the complete, sufficient, error-free source of truth. As such, Jehovah issued forth the following warnings in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2 and Revelation 22 verses 18 and 19. God's word is all the truth necessary for the genuine spiritual life, and it completely meets all the spiritual needs of mankind. Dayton, are you listening? We are in the beginning of our summer series. I said earlier that I would talk to you about what we are doing on Wednesday evenings. Started June the 3rd, so each Wednesday through June, July, and August, ending August 26th. We are studying under the theme, Be Encouraged, Studies in the Book of Hebrews. And so each week we will study a chapter in the book of Hebrews over the summer. This week we'll have chapter 2. Guest teacher will be Tyrone Sullivan from Columbus, Ohio. Hebrews chapter 2, the study will be led by Tyrone Sullivan. We'd love to have you to come and be with us on Wednesday, June the 10th. Now, for Landmarks of Living, next week we're going to return to our study of characters in Scripture, but there is a need for us to address a subject that is critical in our world, and it has to do with the idea that everyone has a right to his or her own belief religiously. Now, there's an American idiom which says, I have the right to, and then an ellipsis. And this American idiom carries with it the idea to have a just or legal claim on something or on some action. Now, we have to determine, is this a just, and in this, if this is a valid concept? Satan has impressed many that anyone is one's own standard. Too many people think that they are their own standard. Solomon said, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25. You know, one may have a legal or a personal right, but God's law is not determined by civil law nor by one's conscience. It was the Apostle Paul who was inspired to pen in Romans chapter 3 and verse 4. Context, let's start at verse 1. What advantage then has the Jew or what is the profit of circumcision? Much in every way, chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God. But what if someone did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but let every man a liar. And so God's word is the standard. You know, the Bible is that which is the determiner. Acts chapter 17 and verse number 11, we glean and we understand that Luke recorded that these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word, meaning the word of God, with all readiness, and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. It is the word of God that is the source of man's direction. In Psalm 19, in verse number 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, complete, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Psalm 19, verses 7 and 8. And so today we hope to consider this important subject. Does everyone have a right to his own belief? You know, if you say yes to that, then you are saying that God has given to man, we would put it this way, man is placing himself on the same level as the Creator. Well, let's observe maybe three or four things. Number one, let's look at some reasons one does not have a spiritual right to their own belief. Number one, Christ is the one who is in absolute authority. After Jesus was crucified upon the cross of Calvary and was raised from the dead, and before his ascension into heaven, the Lord told the apostles and leaves for us these words. Then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Matthew 28:18. Jesus said, all authority, all power, God has placed in the Son. God was the one who said that the Son is the one that we are to make sure we're paying attention to. You remember in the ministry of Jesus, when he was transfigured on the mount, and as they stood there, one said, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Well, when he said that, it is interesting how Mark records the next statement. Says, because he did not know what to say, for they were greatly afraid. Fear will cause people to say things they ought not to say. And a cloud came and overshadowed them, according to verse 7. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. That's the one we are to listen to. We're to listen to the Lord. After the church was established, the apostles continued to preach and to teach. In Acts chapter 3, verse 22 and 23, for Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you, and it shall come to pass that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. It is the Lord who we are to hear, not self. Jesus himself pointed out in the end of the Sermon on the Mount, if you would read carefully, Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 27, that we must do God's will. And it's God's will that we must do if we want to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now, everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. You see, we need to make sure we are building on the solid foundation of the Christ. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9 that Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to all them who obey him. The second reason one does not have a spiritual right to his own belief is that God forbids variation religiously. He does not want us to add to that which he has given. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, Paul in writing to the church at Corinth, reminds them that he sent Timothy to them, who will teach in the same way that he is teaching. Now, these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sake, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. We're not to go or think beyond that which God has provided. In 2 John chapter 9, we're told not to go, not to transgress, not to go beyond the doctrine of Christ. The one who abides in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. Then we are reminded, as we have said in every week, that we're not to subtract from God's word. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2 in the Old Testament. Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19 in the New Testament. We are not to add, nor are we to take away from God's word. Third, only one source of authority today, and that's one source of authority is where we appeal. It's the word of God. It is that which God has given that every man can appeal to. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped unto every good work. And that is the New Testament. It is the source that we are to go to for today for authority, for that which we believe. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, and he established the second. By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The New Testament is the standard by which we live. It's the standard by which we follow and become well-pleasing to God. Paul says to those at Galatia, he says, look, God has confirmed and given us this new will, this standard, which is the New Testament, Galatians 3 and verse 15. And he says that no change in the standard is allowed. Galatians chapter 1, Paul would emphasize this. He said, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a counterfeit gospel, or to a different gospel, one that is counterfeit, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be anathema or accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you, then what you have received, let him be accursed. So there we observe three reasons one does not have a spiritual right to their own belief. Second, let's look at some Bible examples showing one does not have a right to their own belief. Well, we go back to the very beginning, the book of Genesis. And we observe in Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 through 5, Cain, thinking he could do what he wanted to do as opposed to what God had instructed. God is the one who prescribes worship. Worship is not done how we think. And so you go back and you look at, you know, Cain said, well, I'll give God what I think he'll be happy with. No, God had instructed what was going to be acceptable. And so we know this because of what is stated in Genesis chapter 11 and verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And so it, when one does what they want to do, it is not pleasing to God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17. We, you know, Cain substituted his own belief for that which God had instructed, and therefore Cain was rejected, and his worship was rejected. There's another example we have in the Old Testament, and that has to do with the sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, in Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. These individuals did something that God had not authorized, and they offered to God profane fire. God did not authorize what they did. They felt that they had a right to give God what they wanted. God was not at all pleased with what they did. As a matter of fact, God was so displeased with them because they violated his law that he killed them because of their disobedience. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord, Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 2. Then in the New Testament, and then in the, we have Saul of Tarsus in the New Testament, who initially followed his own conscience. And that conscience was contrary to the will of Christ. He was going about arresting Christians and putting them to death simply because he thought that that was the right thing to do. Paul, in recounting the events of his early life in Acts 26 and verse 5, said, "They knew me from the first. If they were willing to testify that according to the strictest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee." He said, look, there was a time when I was a Pharisee. And then in verse 9, he says, "Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus." You see, he said, look, I thought that there was a time that I needed to do things contrary to the will of Christ. He thought he was doing the right thing. Paul earlier had said in Acts 23, verse 1, looking earnestly at the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." He said, I was following what I thought to be right, but I learned better. I learned that it was wrong. Finally, some things in which we have no personal right. Number one, we have no personal right to choose the religious name we shall wear. We have no right to choose the name that we're going to wear in religion. We look around, and you can just go in some places and you just see one name after another, whether you look online, you look in a phone book, you just drive down the street. Well, God is the one who assigns the name to those who belong to him. It was stated prophetically in Isaiah chapter 56 and verse number 5, in Isaiah 62, verse number 2, that God would give the name for his people in the future. In Isaiah 56 and verse 5, the prophet Isaiah says, "Even to them I will give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than that of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off." And then in Isaiah chapter 62, in verse number 2, he says, "The Gentiles shall see your righteousness and all kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name." Well, Isaiah, what's that new name? It was fulfilled in Acts chapter 11 and verse number 26, when the First, Gentiles will become disciples. Luke then points out that, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch so it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. It was God who gave that name in the fulfillment of his predictive prophecy. Only Christian is the divinely given name. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16. If any man suffer, let him suffer as a Christian. We have no right to determine what so-called church we belong. You know, a physical infant cannot choose his family, nor can one born into God's family. We must surrender to what God has said. The family of God, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, God set the family. God adds to the church, Acts 2 and verse 47. No right is given to join that which God has not authorized. That's why Jesus made the observation that the axe is laid at the root of the tree. No right to join that which God has not authorized. Revelation chapter 18 and verse 4. Man does not have the personal right to determine his own course in Christian service. You know, when one obeys the gospel, one realizes that he or she now belongs to Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20 says, "For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." We have the right, we don't have the right to live as we want, but we're supposed to live holy lives. James 1, verse 27. We don't have the right to choose how we worship God. God is to be worshiped in spirit and in truth. John chapter 4, verse 24. John 17, 17. Jesus points out that not all worship is acceptable to him. Some people honor him with their lips, but their heart is far from him, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. Matthew 15, verse 9. One does not have the personal right to determine how he's going to be saved. God has the plan for man to be saved, and it's the same plan for everyone. God commands all men everywhere that they must do the same thing. All must obey that same plan. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. God's plan is the same because God is no respecter of persons, Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35. Friends, yes, man is a free moral agent. Man has simply two choices, either to accept or to reject. If we accept what God has said, we will be saved. If we reject what God has said, we'll be lost. Dayton, are you listening? Beloved, it does matter what you think. Beloved, it does matter how you think. God's plan of salvation requires faith, repentance, confession that Jesus is the Christ, and then being baptized for the remission of your sins. If we can help you, please let us know.